This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
The guy that makes one of the best pizzas in America.
My name is Anthony Valinodi, and I'm the owner of DeLuca's Pizza. A
couple of the accolades and the proofs of the awesomeness of
it. We were named in the top 101 pizzas the last 5 years. We've been named the best pizza in the state of Arkansas for the last 5 years. There's just so many of them that sometimes I just really don't keep track of it. I always tell my crew, it's nice to read these things, but read them, put them down, forget about it. Now we have to go back to work. We have to work even harder now.
Well, you just love being in the kitchen. I know, because that's where I had to come see you last time.
I've been in there for 7 years now, and it's been a great joy for a guy that was never professionally trained to cook. This is something that's it's a dream come true in a lot of ways.
How did this happen?
It was all a mistake, obviously. You know, I mean, it was leaving New York 25 years ago, living in Las Vegas, living in California, living in Miami. The death of my parents basically forced me into... they just passed away within 2 days of each other.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it wasn't a tragedy.
They were in Brooklyn.
You know, as my sisters like to say, it was their happy ending. It just wasn't our happy ending. Mm-hmm. So that kind of led me off to Europe, and I went and I studied in Naples.
What did you study?
I went to learn to make pizza. I was sitting at a friend's house in Vegas.
I thought they invented pizza in Brooklyn.
We did, but we don't want to tell anybody that. The best pizza in the world is in Brooklyn. But so I was sitting at a friend's house, and I said, I was so disenchanted with everything after losing my parents. I saw a Wine Spectator, and there was a pizza pie and a glass of wine, and I said, that's what I'm going to do.
Uh-huh.
So I went to Europe. I learned. I lived with this little old Italian lady that really taught me and changed my attitude about everything. Fortuitously, she was a former cook at the University of Naples, and I've got 65 pages of her recipes. And,
wow.
And
so
I got very, very lucky.
So you were with her every day in the kitchen.
I was with her every day in the kitchen, and she saw that I had this penchant to want to cook. Mm-hmm. So she started letting me cook. But she would tell me, she would scream at me, basically.
I was going to say, you're lucky she let you in the kitchen.
Listen, my mother came back from life at some point, right? And I was very, very lucky, because when I first got there, she said she wasn't going to cook. And I said, I know you can cook, mm-hmm. all right? And we had an incredible month together, and she really taught me more than I could ever, and I can't thank her enough for what she did for me.
So that journey from the old country, how did it morph into Hot Springs, Arkansas?
Serendipity brought me here in a lot of ways. This was going to be done in Pasadena, mm-hmm. and I had a deal that fell through. And when the deal fell through in Pasadena, I flew to Las Vegas, and I ran into an old buddy who literally told me that if it wasn't for my ex-wife, I would live in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Wow.
Because that's how much she liked it.
Wow.
I got on the plane the next day, and I came down, and it took me literally one day to go, this is where I want to be. It's just something that was innate.
What was it that got you?
I think the people, I think the beauty of Hot Springs, I think there was so much that reminded me. I grew up a lot in Saratoga as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, really reminded me of being in Saratoga. They're very, very similar places.
Yeah, the horses.
Exactly. The horses, yeah. They're both called the Spa City. You know, mm-hmm. it's just, so there was this great familiarity with Hot Springs that
so
I just said.
A sense of home.
Very much so.
Yeah, so this is home to you now.
I will never go anywhere else. Yeah. I love it here.
Tell us about your restaurant, when you opened it and what the model is.
I opened a 6-table restaurant November 22nd, 2013, and I really never thought it would work. I mean, we were in the wrong location, and I didn't know I was in the wrong location.
You're at the end of the line, aren't you?
I was at the end of the line. Yeah. We had no walking traffic. I didn't really have any money to do it. I was barely, you know, I always call it Bad Check Friday. I would write bad checks on Friday to pay for the food, you know,
yeah.
the food. And I would tell my distributors here, this is why people here have been so kind to me. I was like, you know, I can't cover that today. I said, but I'd probably be able to cover it on Monday. And they were good enough and gracious enough to let me have that. And somehow through word of mouth, this became what it's become. And I'm still stunned. I don't really advertise. Mm-hmm. I don't really...
And so you disprove. People say you got to have location, location, location. And you don't, and yet it doesn't matter.
In a sense, I knew that we were putting out food that was right. really good. You know, I mean, because I'm the kind of guy that'll travel 100 miles for a cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd go out of my way for it or a meal. So I would assume that there was a lot more crazy people like me in this world that love food that much that they'll do that. And we started to notice that people started coming and they started liking it. And again, through word of mouth, it really spread.
Dig a little deeper. Go culinary for a moment. Your pizzas, what is it that makes them so magical?
We still make all our dough by hand.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I learned to do it in Italy. And I think there's a real beauty to doing it that way. We still only make so many pizzas a day. I'm not like, you know, these other places that We'll continually make it. When we make our dough the day before, so it takes us about 24 to 36 hours to do it. That really, really is the basis of it, is the dough. It's just making great bread. And then I've always bought really good ingredients. You know, and I've sourced locally from all our farmers here. And that has really, really enhanced the product greatly. And I'm a food guy, I'm the person who told my mother she made bad food. Okay, I really am. I was unworthy of her love. I know that, but I was very, very hard about food, and to this day, I'm still the same way.
Interesting. Rumor on the street is that you make the best burger anywhere around.
Wow. Now that
how does that happen?
That happens out of the fact that, again, it was the idea of when I lived in all those places when I lived out of New York. I just couldn't get the pizza I wanted, right? And I couldn't get the hamburger I wanted either. I just want meat, cheese, and a bun. That's all I want.
Like, I know, but it seems like a...
Simple is hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Simple is deconstruct
for a moment your beef.
So yeah, we tried a bunch of different blends here and with local butchers, and I didn't like it. And I went to a guy in New York City that really, really does this for a living, and he came up with the right blend. It's this aged prime rib, and it's brisket, and it's chuck, and it's like basically a steak on a bun. Peter Luger's is my favorite steakhouse. It's my favorite restaurant in the world. Once I go to the electric chair, that will be my last meal. But they make the best hamburger I've ever had, and I just wanted something that was close to that. And I think we really, really hit on it where, you know, we bring the meat in from New York, we use Martin's potato rolls from Pennsylvania, and then, of course, we cook it in the pizza oven, which makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, interesting.
It's 750 degrees is pretty interesting the way to make a burger.
Okay, so the other variable you haven't talked about is the cheese.
I get a lot of my stuff from Italy, and we use a lot of East Coast cheese. We make our own mozzarella in-house as well. So, again, we try to do everything ourselves. We try to build... There isn't anything that's frozen here. There isn't anything that's... Everything has to be made. Everything has to be broken down. You know, the majority of my cheese comes from Italy. We use wheels of Parmigiano Reggiano like they're going out of style. Okay. You know, and that's the cheese of the gods, really.
Yeah. Simple.
Simple.
Yeah, is complex.
It's very hard.
Very, very interesting. And the name of your restaurant?
DeLuca's Pizza.
And you're right on the edge of town.
I'm at 831 Central Avenue in this beautiful, beautiful city that we wish people come and visit.
Do you have a website? How would somebody track you and find out about you?
We're on Instagram, DeLuca's Pizza on Instagram. We're on Facebook under DeLuca's Pizza. The website is DeLuca's Pizza at DeLucasPizzaHotSprings.com. That's where you can find us.
Cool.
My name is Anthony Valinotti, and I'm the owner of DeLuca's Pizza in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Anthony, what a pleasure. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Hot Springs. We'll see you here. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Hot Springs, Arkansas. We're here at a legendary barbecue place. Where are we?
We're at McClard's Barbecue, and my name is Scott McClard, and I'm a fourth generation.
Wow. So your great-grandma...
Great-grandmother and grandfather started it. They sure did. About in 1928, they had... Actually, they were called bungalows. You know, they would call them motel, but you really can't even say it was motel because they're just little individual cabins.
I think some of them they're called motor courts.
That's it, motor courts. Exactly. Yeah. They were motor courts. Uh-huh. So they had six, and they're about three blocks west of us right here.
Did they have a gas station?
It was a gas station. It originally started out as a gas station and a motor court. There was like six stools in there for a small, just like coffee bar, mainly that's all it was. They had a patron that stayed with them for 2 weeks. And at the end of the 2 weeks, he came up to my great-grandmother and grandfather and said, "Hey, you know what? I can't afford to pay this bill. But what I do have is a great recipe for some barbecue sauce." My great-grandfather was like, "Well, it's better than a kick in the head. You know, I'll take it." So he took it. So they started playing with it. They, my grandmother and grandfather, great-grandmother and grandfather, they started playing with it, messing around with it. They started serving, "Let's try this on goat." Because, like I was saying, you know, you didn't eat beef back then. Not everyone ate beef. I mean, there
was
beef.
Not in rural Arkansas.
Right. Not in rural Arkansas. You didn't eat beef, you know, unless you were a Rockefeller.
Yeah.
So they started serving it on chickens and goat. Well, pretty soon it became known not for just this little stop for a tourist court. It became known for barbecue. And they were like, "You know what? You should really, like, think about servings. Like, this should be what you do." So we started doing it, and it was a hit. And like I said, that was about four blocks west of us right here where we are right now in Hot Springs, Arkansas. They moved here, I believe, in 42, 43 to this location. It was half this building. And they started. Gladys McClard and Alex McClard, that's my great-grandmother, grandfather, opened the restaurant. It started originally in 1928, moved here in 40, 41, and the rest is history. And it's 92 years.
So your grandma and grandpa were involved, and then your mom and dad?
Absolutely. It was.
So you grew up behind the counter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up. This was my first job. This was everything. This is how I made my money for the summers, so I could go out and buy a car and date girls. And, this was it.
Right.
It's kind of like the mafia. You can't get away from it.
Yep.
If you wanted to.
Yeah,
if you wanted, I couldn't. Wanted to, you couldn't.
Yeah. So for generations, this place literally has been a favorite go-to place for Hot Springs locals.
It has.
A couple things put you on the map across the world.
Mm-hmm.
The myth, legend, and lore. One was a TV reporter, and the other was a guy from Hot Springs who became president of the United States who had a real fondness for hanging out here.
He was. I mean, whether you love him, you hate him, or you're indifferent about him, I mean, we love him here in Hot Springs. He's our boy. Mm-hmm. He's our man. And
so does Bill Clinton come back?
When he married Hillary, before they went on their honeymoon, they came here and ate and then got on the plane.
Does he still come back? You still see him
absolutely.
Pop in?
No, he does. Absolutely. When he's close, sometimes if he's in Little Rock, either he'll send someone here to get it or he comes here and gets it himself.
That's really cool. And then was it Al Roker? He fell in love with your stuff?
Mm-hmm. He sure did.
And how did that happen?
It was a Channel 4 interview, an NBC interview that somehow turned him on to us, and then he just kind of fell in love with it.
So did you get Air Freedom stuff?
Oh, we send him anything they want. Are you kidding me? That's nationwide publicity. Absolutely.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Yep.
I love it. So here you are continuing on today.
I'm a fourth generation, and believe it or not, this little white stucco building is still going strong.
That's so cool. And to learn more, do you guys have a website?
We do. We have a website, McClard's. It's www.mcclards.com. We sell all of our seasonings, our sauces, sauces.
You're really known for your sauces as much as anything today.
The sauce is what built this building.
Yeah.
The sauce is what made that little tourist court turn into a barbecue place. Yes. And my name is Scott McClard.
Scott, thanks so much for sharing.
Absolutely.
How cool.
No problem, absolutely.
All right, I'm Tom Wilmer reporting.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. And in fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.
Come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 bits for naught.